stand. Stand up, stand out, stand in. Stand. Stand for, stand with, stand against. Sometimes you have to be told to stand down. Stand up and be counted. But whatever you do, don't just stand around. I mean, that's what my dad would say. You can be seated again. I'm impressed that you did that so well, given some other context that might have been more work to convince you to adjust posture. But standing, you know, where are you standing? How are you standing today? I had this kind of flash, this moment of anxiety. We're not going to talk about the election today. the truth is we didn't want there to be any shouting or fistfights. You know, since we're welcoming new members, we thought that, well, to stand. How do you take a stand? There is standing in the gospel today. Did you hear it? Did you notice it? There are those who stand in, well, different places. Jesus tells this story, and it almost at first sounds like one of those old jokes or an old trope. Two guys go into a bar. But then it doesn't end that way. It doesn't actually go there. This time it's not a joke. This time there's a surprise ending, but it's not a funny one. There is a surprise ending, and it is as serious as it can be. Two guys go up to the temple to pray, right? One of them was a Pharisee, and he's standing where? Do you remember? Standing by himself. Two guys go up to the temple to pray. One of them is a Pharisee, and he is standing by himself. And he's praying, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, thieves and rogues and adulterers or even like this. And then who's the other guy? The tax collector. But the tax collector, where's the tax collector standing, according to Jesus? The tax collector is standing far off. Far off. And would not even look up to heaven. Luke picks up the placement and the posture, the status of these two characters, or even caricatures. They almost seem like exaggerated parts of the story. He's trying to make a point, right? Jesus isn't telling a joke, but he's using these as features of a story, maybe to help us see in them something about ourselves. The Pharisee and the tax collector. The Pharisee standing by himself, and the tax collector standing far off. One is an elite member of the establishment, the other, outsider. One of these two is a law-abiding, even exemplary model of good behavior, diligent, a keeper of all the rules, and the other one, failure. One of them prays with this sense of confidence and even boldness, and the other, he just pleads for mercy. One of them is smug and arrogant and conceited, but the other is humble and self-deprecating. One standing by himself, and the other standing far off. So, where are you standing today? Would people be impressed? Would God be impressed? Garth, we loaded up an image that we wanted to show you. After service coffee, this is the time when newcomers get to know the congregation. That's not a picture of our Saviors, by the way. Thank you, Garth. We, the truth is that perhaps there's, You know, there's kind of trouble with now having more space to have our parties and our fellowship and our sort of common communal life together. You do have to work. You have to go find somebody. And it's terribly tempting to walk in and just hang out with the cool kids. But maybe there could be more. To stand with someone else, to stand for someone else. Kimberly and I were pretty honest with the new people. We wanted them to know the realities of our Saviors, to know how this congregation really acts in terms of friendship and warmth and hospitality. We wanted them to know that that's just a growing edge for us. I showed them this PowerPoint. The sign was seen at the desk of a nice country inn. Please introduce yourself to your fellow guests, since we are all one big happy family. Do not leave your valuables in your room. And then I showed him another one. UCLA football coach Pepper Rogers was in the middle of a terrible season. It even got so bad that it upset his home life. He recalls, "My dog was my only friend. I told my wife that a man needs at least two friends, so she bought me another dog." And, well, they all laughed politely, just like you did. But that's true. That's real in us. The Pharisee with his posturing and self-obsessed prayer, this sort of passive-aggressive critique and contempt for others, stood where? Stood by himself. And this tax collector, this humble but hated, this tax collector, this one honest before God but also loathed by everyone else, where did he stand? Far off. Where are you standing today? In proximity to another? Jesus told this parable to some who, as the text says, trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Jesus told this story with his finger sort of pointed at those who, well, trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Righteous is one of those thick, old, religious, biblical words, and it may not be clear what it actually means, but they were righteous. But then Jesus goes on and talks about the tax collector, this one who was humble and even humiliated before God, who pleads for mercy, and does he get called righteous? No, Jesus says that he is justified. Those are not interchangeable terms. That vocabulary isn't just a way to be poetic and have a kind of a cadence to the language. They're two different things. To be righteous is having complied with the rules. To be righteous is to have behaved according to expectations. Righteousness, well, that's a designation that I give to myself, a sort of congratulation that I offer up to me. Justified is quite different. To be justified, not by my actions, not by my observances, not by my model of a godly life. No, I'm justified by something that's outside of me. I'm justified by something bigger, by something more, by someone more. I'm justified by grace and by love. In spite of my failures and my games, I'm justified in spite of my deficits. Jesus says, "I tell you, this man," we would say this man, this woman, "went home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted." Well, whether we're standing by ourselves or standing far off, standing up for all that's worthy, or like my dad would say, just standing around, Luke's gospel continues to unfold. We see Jesus standing. We see Jesus taking unpopular positions, spending time with the wrong kind of people, we see Jesus blurt out those very uncomfortable truths in the company of those who would take offense. Jesus himself stands on the edge, stands in the face of powers that would push back as he preaches and protests, as he heals and he feeds, as he decries and he resists, as he loves. Jesus is not neutral. There's no fence sitting. Jesus will not stand down. Jesus will not stand by. Two guys go into a bar. Turns out different than anybody thought, right? Jesus loves them both. Not because they deserve it, not because they earned it, but that's God's way, to justify by grace, nothing to hide and nothing to prove. We can't make God love us more, and we can't make God love us less. Those who would exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who would humble themselves will be exalted. So what are we going to do? Stand.